We are blessed this morning to have a guest speaker at Austin Bible Church to present the ministry of Village Ministries International. He's been here a number of times and an old friend for many of us. This might be your first opportunity to hear him in person. He's been here a number of times, Mr. Bob Thompson. This time, though, he was very blessed to have brought his wife and his daughter, and we have a blessing to get to know them as well. There were rumors, of course, about Bob for all these years that I probably shouldn't go into those, but he travels a lot, and he travels a lot with VMI and around the world to the different places that he's going to describe for you this morning, but then around the country to different churches in presenting the ministry. And so I expect that places like Myanmar and Ghana and jungles and places that are not exactly pleasant are not exactly places that you would want to take your wife and your daughter, maybe every time. But Austin is not quite the third world jungle that some people think it is. And so we're delighted that you were able to bring them with you here this morning. So with our message this morning, Mr. Bob Thompson.
Is it on? Thank you, Bob. It is an honor to be here. Let's start with prayer. I mean, I think that prayer works for almost every one of us here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that we have the opportunity to come and worship you. And thank you for each of these believers that have come to hear your word this morning. Thank you for those people who have come who are not believers. Help us to reach them so that they can understand about that grace that Bob was talking about your love for each of us. Help us to present what you want us to present. Let us hear what you want us to hear. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is an honor to be here because my first visit, my first church I went to as the CEO of VMI was Austin Bible Church. So, yes, I love coming back here to this church. So bear with me while I go over some things that most of you have seen 10 or 12 times. But I want to at least present it. And then we'll get into some specifics about what's going on in the world, as Bob mentioned, in some of those countries that don't have what we have. First, I'm the CEO of Village Ministries. We're in Oklahoma City. Village Ministries started in 1990. A guy by the name of Jody Brown started it. And he read in the Bible, believe that. The Bible in Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And he believed that. So what he did, he decided, well, you know, if the Bible really says that, maybe I should go. Now I'm going to be talking about missionaries today. But are you a missionary? Can this apply to you? Do you have to go to Ghana? Do you have to go to Sri Lanka? Do you have to go, like Pastor Bob, and go to Ukraine in May? No. Where's your mission field? You need to figure out where your mission field is, because this verse is a command. It says, having already gone, you're going to teach other people about Jesus Christ. Having already gone. Hello? That's us. Put the shoe leather on, go out, and tell people about Jesus Christ. And guess what's going to happen if you do that? You can fill this church up. And then poor Pastor Bob's going to have to speak to the whole congregation with every seat filled. I know it's a hard thing to think about, but let's try that. Y'all need to figure out how to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ in your neighborhood. If you don't want to go to Ukraine with Pastor Bob or all the way to Houston in 2 weeks, that's a mission field. But what happens here in Austin? What happens at the 7-Eleven? What happens at the Walmart store? You guys can go there. What happens to, okay, I'm going to get personal. What happens to your brother or your sister or your mama or your daddy who's not a believer? Have you ever told your mother about Jesus Christ and how He died for each of our sins? We need to be telling our family. We need to be telling our loved ones. Because Bob's right. You know, one of these days, in a twinkling of an eye, sure enough, we're gonna be whipped up out of this world. Gone. Do you want your mother, if she's not a believer, left here? We need to believe this verse enough that we're going to go and we're going to tell others about Jesus Christ. One of the things that we do, I know this isn't the way I normally do this. One of the things we do at VMI, we have what we call a coin. All it is a metal track. Years ago when we had these tracks, everybody used tracks and I hated them. This is just a metal track. It says, where will you spend eternity? On the backside it says, John 3:16. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have eternal life. Hello, that's what we're talking about. What would happen if you went out and gave this to your mother, who's not a believer, or your brother, or your sister, and you told them that Jesus Christ died for their sins so that they could have eternal life? And secondly, that they could come to this very church right here and listen to the gospel be taught every time the doors are open. This place would be full. And you guys can do it. Okay? We have these printed up in 88 languages. That's because we believe this verse. We believe the verse that says you need to go to all the nations. 88 different languages that we have these printed. It really makes a difference when you go into a country. And you can ask Bob when he goes into Ukraine, when he takes a Russian coin in there and says, it's in their language. They read it in their language. They listen to it. They'll listen to Pastor Bob. They always listen to Pastor Bob, but I mean, they'll really pay attention. Everybody will pay attention when you have this little coin. It's just a way to tell people about Jesus Christ. Y'all might want to try it. Fill this church up. Help Pastor Bob. Because you see, he's busy every day studying, getting ready for the lesson that he's going to be teaching today, tomorrow, next week, in Ukraine, wherever he's going to be going. He's going to be teaching. So he's got to prepare. Your job is two jobs. One is to come when he's got the church doors open. You need to come and listen to him teach. Two, you need to tell other people about Jesus Christ. In 1990, we started Village Ministries. And we started it where we wanted to go overseas, train nationals. We wanted to go overseas, and we wanted to evangelize. And we wanted to teach them about the Bible. One of the things we did right at the first, how do you teach them about the Bible? We use something that you guys have right here, intimately here. Grace notes that Warren put on. Okay? We've used that for years, trying to teach people about how to study the Bible. But then we realized that a lot of the people that we went to didn't have computers. So we had to change some things. And I'll talk about those changes. First place we went to Nigeria. It's an honor to be at this church. It's an honor to walk into a church in America and know that you don't have to worry about someone hurting you just because you're sitting in the pew. That you don't have to worry about somebody going to hurt you because you're a believer. Matthias Adi was 16 years old. He became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He went home and he told his father, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. His daddy put a gun to his head and said, get out of my house. Either that or denounce your religion. How many of us think, I don't want a show of hands. How many of us would be willing to say, I'm leaving? 16 years old. He had no skills. No work skills. 16 years old, believes that this Bible is a true word. And he had to leave home. somehow, and the little things we do in life, sometimes it doesn't mean a hill of beans to us. The little things that we do in life. Somehow, he was getting ready. He liked to play music. And so, he bought a tape on the black market, and he was a tape over his music over it, so he could maybe sell his music for a couple pennies. They listened to this tape. We have no idea how this little cassette tape got to Nigeria, but it got to Nigeria. He bought this tape on the black market. He listened to it. He then writes to Gene Cunningham and to Jody Brown and says, I don't know who you guys are. I don't know how I got this tape, but I need you to come and tell me more about Jesus Christ because it's real in my life. And I need help because I can't go to school. I can't go to Bible class because there is no Bible class. Because in my country, they believe in devil worship. Gene and Jody went to Nigeria. They trekked. They hiked. They finally made it to Abudu, Nigeria. You can't get to Abudu, Nigeria unless you really want to get there. You fly into Lagos. You fly for 3 hours to Calabar. You get in a car and you drive 4 hours south to a little village. The road is not like any road we have here in the United States. Nothing like any road we have in the United States. There are potholes big enough to hide the biggest car we have out here in the parking lot. The biggest car. I don't care if we've got the biggest SUV out there. Those potholes are that big on the road. That's to get there. Jody and Gene got there. They taught. They taught this man about this book right here. So much so that he wanted to become a pastor. He now has 31 pastors working with him. Now, he still doesn't have electricity in his house. He still doesn't have a door. He's got a doorway. He's got a windowway, but no windows. So he doesn't have a lot of things that you and I have. I mean, we all have nice houses. We all have nice cars. We all have nice clothes to wear. They don't. I mean, their main goal is to figure out how to get food on the table tonight. Not tomorrow. Tonight. One meal a day is all they want. That's when we decided we needed to go to the villages, not to the big cities. We don't go to the Rio de Janeiro's. We don't go to the Moscow's. We go to the villages. Here we are teaching. Actually, this is not fake stuff. This is a village, and that's what a house looks like. Actually, there is a goat in that house right now when I took that picture. That's the reason I took the picture, was because David was teaching, but there was also a goat that just walked into the house. Again, they've got a doorway, but they don't have a door. So a goat can go in and out, or animals can go in and out. These people love to be taught. Here in America, we have wonderful churches, beautiful buildings, carpet, lights, all the stuff. They don't have that. But when they come into the church, whatever their church is, and I'll show you a church building, they're there. And they asked me to teach, and I asked them, for how long? They said, until you can't talk anymore, Bob. And they were serious. 4 to 6 hours later, I'm starting to get hoarse. And we stopped. That's the only reason we stopped, because I was frail, because I couldn't do it anymore. They would have stayed there all night and listened. They don't have fancy chairs like we have. They have a bench, a wooden bench that has splinters on it, I promise you. And they just sit there, and they listen, and they listen, and they listen. And then they go back, and they try to live that life. We give them Bibles, as many Bibles as we can carry over there. Because they don't have availability of Bibles. They don't have a Bible school. They don't have Bibles. Here we are at the church that we built. Now, to build this church, think about it. When I retired from law enforcement, I was in law enforcement for 31 years and retired, and then I became with VMI. But I retired on Friday from law enforcement. My goal was to hike the Grand Canyon from rim to rim. So on Monday, my wife and I and my son and daughter-in-law were at the Grand Canyon. We hiked from the north rim to the south rim. I'm sorry, David and I did. Barbara and Sarah did not. That's a strenuous hike. It's nothing compared to the hike into the jungle. I've done both, I promise you. I could jog down the trail of the Grand Canyon and back up compared to this. And that's what these people do. To get this tin roof, guess what they do? 12-foot piece of tin on their head, they jog down the hill. Okay, that's the way they get down. That's the way I got down. I fell. They laughed at me. Hey, this American, he falls down. He gets dirty. He didn't get hurt. So I just kept going until I got to the bottom. They told me, you need to rest, Mr. Bob. Okay, so I rested. Then I got to teach. That's what they wanted. They wanted us to teach. In Abudu, we finally bought a new van. We got some money. We bought a new van for them because in that van right there, they'll put 40 people in that van, transport them from church to the church. They'll go back, pick up people, take them to the church. That's another thing. I saw Pastor Bob this morning. Okay, I'll be honest. I was a little bit late getting here. I didn't make it here for prayer meeting. The people in Nigeria, every morning, 5:30, they're in the church praying. Not getting there, but they're sitting in the church praying. Do you know what they pray for? They pray for you and me. They pray for us Americans. Honest. I've heard them. I've received notes from them saying, hey, Mr. Bob, I know you're going to be at this church at this time. Please know that the church is praying for you, Mr. Bob. How humbling can that be? I'm supposed to be the CEO of VMI, and yet they're praying for me. They're praying for you and I, for our salvation, that we'll actually continue in the vein in which we've started, having a pastor that's willing to teach, come in and listen to him. That's what they love doing. Next place we went. Now, this was all in the time when we thought we as Americans need to go over there and be long-term. So we went to Belarus. And we went to Belarus, and we couldn't get in except that we could be a teacher of English. So Jody Brown and seven other Americans went to teach English. And they used an old book, a rather old book, called the Bible. They taught English using the Bible. The Belarusians were okay with that. So for 2 years, they had the best translator in all of Belarus. His name was Volodya Felman. He was really good. He wasn't a believer, but he was really a good translator. 2 years into that, he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He goes home that night to his wife, Ira, and he says to her, wow, you won't believe what I've been helping Jody Brown and all those Americans teach. And he says, it's real. Jesus Christ died for my sins and your sins. And she became a believer. Okay. He's already using that, Matthew 28:19. He's going and telling other people. But he didn't stop there. He went to his young son, Sasha. And Sasha became a believer that night. Well, about that time, we realized that we were going to get kicked out of Belarus because the government hated us as Americans. So in 95, we changed our whole apparatus to that instead of sending Americans over there to be full-time missionaries, number one, you have to go over, you have to learn the language, you have to learn the customs, you have to go there and you live in less than what we're accustomed to. I mean, you know, we like houses that have windows and doors and air conditioners and fans and heaters and things, and they don't have that. Okay, so in 95, we realized that we were going to have to change our operation. So we then decided we were going to go with just indigenous pastors, local pastors doing the job, and we would go over and we'd help train them, much like what Pastor Bob is going to be doing in Kiev in May. He's going to go over for 2 weeks, teach people how to study the Bible. Teach people about the Bible. Because, you see, y'all are lucky. I mean, you've got a pastor that loves you, and you've got a pastor that studies and works hard to teach you about this book, but they don't have that. And they can't go to the store and get it at the local Christian bookstore because, okay, there is no local Christian bookstore. And they can't get it on the internet because, oh, that's right, you have to have electricity to run your computer. So you, okay, why have a computer if you don't have electricity? So understand what I'm saying? They need some hands-on. They need to be taught how to study the Bible. So Volodya became the pastor. And then he taught another young man in his church to be a pastor. And then he taught another young man, Sergei, to be a pastor. And then he taught another young man who was an orphan to be a pastor. And let me tell you about Sasha the orphan. Sasha the orphan is a pastor. Orphans in Belarus are nothing. Not even second class citizens, third class, they're nothing. You're put into an orphanage. You're given two pairs of socks a year because you may need them. You're given a small amount of food to eat. And you're given a bed. That's it. No skills. When you turn 16 on September 1st after your 16th birthday, you're kicked out into society. You have no skills. You don't know anything. But at age 16, how many of you at age 16 were willing to face society and be the breadwinner? Take care of yourself. Sasha turned 16. September 1st, he got ready to leave the orphanage. The orphanage director says, oh, are you going to go see your mother? He's 16 years old. He didn't even know he had a mother. She said, well, where does she live? Well, she lives in Mogilev. So he goes to Mogilev, and he finds his mother. And for the first time in his life, he's got somebody who may want to love him. It's his mother. So he goes to his mother and says, Mom. And she says, well, son, I love you. But if you want to stay here, you must go steal some vodka and some cigarettes for me and my boyfriend because we need vodka and cigarettes. Sasha, being the 16-year-old boy who wants to finally be able to love somebody, be loved by somebody, he goes out and tries to steal the vodka and the cigarettes, and he gets caught. He gets put in jail. And while he's in jail, a pastor has a prison ministry. Pastor, no, you're not like this one, sir. Pastor comes to, does a prison ministry, and he says, oh, hey, Sasha, once you get out, come see me. I'll help you. You know, if you need my help, always come and help. I'll come and help you. Okay. So Sasha gets out in a year. Sasha goes back to his mama. Because remember, that's the only person who may want to love him. She's living with a different man at that time. She says to him, Sasha, I need some vodka. I need some cigarettes. Now, the last time he did this, he got put in jail. So he says, Mom, I can't do that. So he leaves. Now he's 17 years old. He's been in an orphanage for 16 years. He's been in prison for 1 year. Not much of a start for this kid, right? But he thinks, you know, when I was in prison, that pastor said, if I ever need anything, come and see me. So he goes and sees the pastor. The pastor says, wait a minute. You're a kind of a convict, and you're an orphan, and, man, I don't know if I want you in my church. No, I don't think so. But hey, I've got a friend. His name is Volodya Feldman. He's a pastor over at this Word of Life Church. Why don't you go over and see him? He did, and he is a pastor himself now. Pretty phenomenal. But Volodya took that Matthew 28:19 and decided, hey, I've got to teach other people how to be pastors just like I am. And that's what he's done. We've been blessed. We've been able to put up a church building there. It's taken us 8 years to put up a building there. It'll probably be taken away from us because the government doesn't like us. The government doesn't like Christians. But we're not going to let that stop us. We put the building up. The church is growing. They've got 25 young people in the young people's class, and they just keep growing. So it's working. We had campers. They did go on a mission trip with me to Belarus, those two ladies right there, Barbara and Leanna. And y'all think, well, I can't go on a mission trip because I don't know enough. Okay, let me tell you who all I had on a mission trip, at this mission trip. This young lady on the lower left-hand corner that's giving the ribbon to the young man, she's deaf. Do you have an ailment that you can't go on a mission trip because she's deaf? I had a 14-year-old girl that was kind of like a crazy girl. I mean, kind of like life is this way. 14 years old. I had a 70-year-old woman who kept saying, I can't go on this mission trip, Bob, because I'm 70 years old. So here I've got a 70-year-old woman. I've got a 14-year-old girl. I've got a 37-year-old deaf lady that's there with me. But guess what? The camp we had for the orphans was a success. Do you know why? Not because of anything we did, but because of what God did. Those kids became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the goal. And they became believers. So if you're sitting there thinking, Bob's talking about all this stuff and I can't do that. Wrong. Are you older than 70? Are you younger than 14? Are you deaf? Any one of us can go. I didn't even let me go. So think about it. Next place we went was to Ghana. Found a young man there, 65 years old, who wanted to teach pastors to be pastors. There's 10 regions in Ghana. And in Ghana, James is only taught in two of them. And when I was over there last time, I said, James, I said, sir, I know you're 65, and I've noticed that you've been slowing down a little bit, and you've got a couple pastors you really lean heavily on as your right-hand men. And he said, Bob, he says, I'm 65, but I've only taught in two of the regions. There's 10 regions in all of Ghana. I have 8 more to go. He's 65 and he's still thinking that way. Now, he is in the United States right now getting his health back. He's a very smart man. He only has 7 children. 6 of them are doctors. The 7th one is in the United States. Going to a place called, in Minnesota, Mayo Clinic. She's going to be working there at Mayo Clinic, getting a degree in medicine. So 7 out of 7. Not bad. Not bad odds, huh? One of them, little James, has said, Bob, I'm going to go back and take my daddy's place. So even though he's a doctor, even though he knows the good life of America, he wants to go back to Ghana and wants to teach the Ghanaese people about Jesus Christ and about how to study this book right here. Here we are. I actually watched them cut that tree down. They had a chainsaw. They had a shovel, a hammer, and a level. And that's what they were going to use to build the church that's on the right. And it's up and operational. What happens is we let people know, churches know that we have a need, and they help us with money. We send the money to James, and James puts together a church. If you don't have a church, you teach under the trees. If it's raining, you hope you've got a big tree. But you teach under the trees. Next place we went was Sri Lanka. Pastor Bob talked about Sri Lanka. Masi there is there. He's the pastor. His goal is to teach pastors to be pastors. I surprised him when I was there last time. Barbara and I were there, and Leanna. So they have gone on a few trips with me. But I sit around and I try to talk to these guys, and I say, what are your needs? What are your wants? And what are your way out visions? And before I had done that, I asked Peavy, their 14-year-old son, I says, Peavy, what do you want to do when you grow up? He says, I want to work with my father. Mossy started crying because he had never heard his son say that. But here a kid is, 14 years old, who wants to, kind of like, I think you could be in that boat, huh, Bobby? Yeah. Kind of like, hey, my daddy's pretty neat, and I want to be just like my daddy. And that's the way PV is. But I was sitting there, and I asked him, I said, you know, what are your needs? And I knew that we had bought him a van and a three-wheeler. And uh, Well, a three-wheeler, which is down in the lower left-hand corner there. We bought him one, and it was worn out. I said, do you need one? He says, oh, no. We heard Susie in the kitchen. Pens dropped. She comes running. She got tears in her eyes. And she says, I need a three-wheeler. Because when Mossy is up in the mountains teaching pastors, he's gone all week. I don't have any way to get to church. I don't have any way to get PV to school. I don't have any way to go get food. I need a three-wheeler. So Barbara decided, we got in the airport that night, and we were talking, and she says, you're not going to give him $3,500 for a three-wheeler, are you? And I says, no. So she went back to the church. The ladies in the church decided that they were going to earn enough money for a three-wheeler for Susie. So here they are, garage selling, sewing, cutting, cookies, anything that you can imagine. But last December 10th, we sent a check to Susie so she could have a three-wheeler. So you ask, what can you do? You can get involved. Not only can you bring people into this church, so Pastor Bob's got people to teach, so they can hear the Word of God, but you can help other people in other places. Prayer, financially. Okay? I skipped a couple pictures. Here we are teaching. I sent a prayer request out, and that's what Pastor Bob was alluding to. We just had a team. In fact, they got back last night at 10 o'clock. A team was in Sri Lanka teaching pastors. I got a text message Thursday night and said, Bob, they killed two of the believers up in the north part, and some of the pastors had to go and be with the families up there. Take you back a year. Last year, Drew Freeman and Larry Hoffman, the two white people there, are in the north part teaching believers about the Word of God. This year, when Pastor Hoffman and Charlie Stillian were there, and they just got back yesterday, two of those believers were killed. And like Bob said, they're really the lucky ones, because they're face to face. We're here. Please pray for their families. Pray for Mossy's safety, because he travels up there all the time. This is a war-torn area. Gun embankments every quarter of a mile. He's Tamil, and he looks Tamil, and he gets stopped all the time because Sinhalese are in control, and the Sinhalese hate the Tamil. So what they do, they stop him, they roust him at 2 o'clock in the morning, they go get him out of bed, take him down to the police station, he has to prove who he is. He's done that at least once a month, all his married life. Why would he put himself through that? Because he loves the Lord. He loves to teach people. That's the reason he does that. We have it so easy here, ladies and gentlemen. We have it so easy. Pastor Bob spoon feeds us. Did you guys get that lesson this morning? I mean, I'm like, yeah. That he just brings it right down so we can understand it, doesn't he? He does that all the time. We need to be able to learn this enough so we can regurgitate it to other people. Here we are teaching. Barbara and Leanna and I were teaching in this church up here. It was 122 steps up, 122 steps down to get to this church on the hill. A lady sat on one side, the men sat on the other side. But they're hungry. They're hungry for the Word. We have a youth camp that we try to put on every year in a lot of countries, because what we found is a lot of young people get out of school and they need some place to go, and so we have summer camps to go to Mexico, to Ghana, to Sri Lanka. And that way they can have a chance to learn how to evangelize, learn how to teach, prepare them to be the future Pastor Bollinger. Because we need, not that we want everyone him to be replaced, but you know what? We need more pastors like him. I mean, you look around the United States, there are less and less pastors out there. Next place we went was a place called India. Solo Phillip is a pastor there, 35 years old. He has a small goal. His goal is to reach 1.4 billion Indians with the Word of God. 1.4 billion. That's a hefty goal. Solo is the type of guy that only requires two hours of sleep a night. So he'll work until 10 or 11, go home and eat. His wife will fix him a dinner. He'll work till 2 o'clock. He'll get up at 4 and start again. Right now what he's doing, he loves to teach and he wants to teach pastors. And he surprised us a year and a half ago when we were over there. He'd been teaching pastors how to be pastors. An intensive class. He had a graduation for him. And we got involved in that. So now what he does is he drives to 15 different communities a month and teaches for one day. Now their day isn't an hour long. It isn't 2 hours long. It's from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night. 8 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. They get a long day. Then he gives them homework. 2 years of that, in other words, 24 days of training, and they become pastors. Because what he's figured is he can't reach all that 1.4 billion, but if he trains pastors, then they can help him do that. So right now what he's doing is he's driving his poor wife crazy. He leaves his house, he drives to a community, and he teaches. He may have to stay all night. And then he comes back home in time to see his kids and his wife. And he goes again 15 times. Now, we realize he can't continue doing that. So what we've done is we're starting a Bible Institute there in India. Because, see, here you've got an example of that's Drew and Solo up in the top there. He bought some vacant land. On that land, we put a house. Have Bible study in the house. If you have more people than that, you just start moving that chair, that furniture out of the way, and you have Bible study. That's where you have Bible study, in your home. When Barbara and Leanne and I were there, Solo asked me, he said, "Will you plant the foundation rock for the Bible Institute?" Okay, I'll be honest with you. I said yes, and yes, I did. I got the honor of doing that. I didn't think it would ever happen. There's no way that we could put a Bible Institute together. Well, now there's a Bible Institute going up, 3 floors. He'll have a school there on site, 3 to 5 pastors teaching, 50 students coming in. They stay there full time. They're fed by Miss Jessie, who's a wonderful cook. They eat, they sleep, they study. They eat, sleep, and study. And then they become pastors. We think that's going to eliminate Solo from going out and traveling all those hours on those treacherous roads that he travels. Because their roads are just like Woodward Avenue, that size. But imagine putting 183 traffic on it, I-35 traffic on it. What's that loop one? 360. And 360 traffic on that one two-lane road. Okay. Then realize that the traffic includes people walking, people with camels, people with elephants, motorcycles, bicycles, cars, trucks, buses, all going that way. The same number of cars coming this way. And so his life, we have to pray for him for safety, because there's 8 lanes of traffic going on a 2-lane road. 8 lanes of traffic going north on a 1-lane road going north and 1-lane road coming south. It's just mass confusion. They honk the horn and they come in. They honk the horn and somehow buses miss each other going 60 miles an hour. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. I just close my eyes and I pray, hey, God, you didn't bring me here to die, so, yeah, bring it on. Yeah, and we just keep going down the road. Yeah, but he does that all the time. We want to try to take some of that pressure off of him, so we're doing the school. And we've got some people that have helped us mightily with the finances to do this. Charlie was in India also, and I haven't seen Charlie since he got back last night, but he says that he has new pictures of the Bible Institute, that it's going up, and it's going to be a reality, and we'll have dedication in June. So the first class will start in June. Here we are teaching. Leanna's there teaching, and Charlie's teaching. The ladies, again, if you want to go on a mission trip as a female, don't tell me you don't know enough, because he's been your pastor, so I know y'all know enough. If you ladies want to go, you can go teach ladies. They love it. Because, see, ladies in India, ladies in any of these countries are second-class citizens, maybe third-class. Their husbands get to go, but they don't get any direct training. They love it. They loved it when Barbara and Leanna taught them. I was teaching pastors. Barbara and Leanna were teaching the ladies. The ladies begged them to continue. You know, they don't get the training. Think about it. Think about how void your soul would be if you didn't have intake of doctrine all the time that Pastor Bob teaches you. And they don't have that. So if you want to go, there's a sign-up sheet over there that we can make that happen. Next place we went was to Nicaragua. A young man, 25 years old, and his wife, Jessica. In that prayer message I sent around yesterday, Friday, was Cairo. He's got 2 hernias. We're going to get him fixed. We're going to do the medication, do the surgery, and get him fixed because he's too valuable. Mark and Rusty, they do look American. Here's a story on them. Mark and Rusty decide they want to go on a mission trip to Nicaragua. We sent them to Nicaragua. They had a blast. They loved it. Because what they found was that people in Nicaragua will sit there and listen and listen and listen and beg to be taught. So they went again. And Mark was a pastor in Oklahoma City, by the way. Mark was a pastor in Oklahoma City. And he came into my office after his third trip, and he says, Bob, he says, I have to confess to you. He says, I love the people of Nicaragua. He says, I think I might have to leave my church in Oklahoma City and go to Nicaragua. So he and Rusty sold everything they had, left their daughter and son-in-law, who just had a brand-new baby, and moved to Nicaragua. And there they teach pastors every month. They have a training class using this book right here, the Foundations book. So they're busy teaching pastors to be pastors. Here they are just teaching. Now, you guys say, well, I don't know Spanish. I don't know Ghanaian. I don't know Nigerian. I don't know Bete. I don't know Russian. That's okay. Neither do I. I do pretty good with English sometimes. I get real good with Okie. I can talk Okie with you. But, you know, English, I'm kind of iffy on. Russian, no way. But we always use translators. What we've found is because the Bible is so precise, we don't want to mess it up. So we always use our missionaries to help us find good, qualified translators that's going to understand the words we teach. There's a lot of translators out there that can just talk with you, converse with you about what they see on TV. But I want them to be able to discuss with me about dispensations, about the love of God, You know, I want to be able to know Bible terms. And that's what we do. We use translators at all times. Again, just another example of some of the churches that we've been into to teach foundations. Here we are in Myanmar. Myanmar is a country that the government hates Americans, and they hate the Bible worse. How many of you all have one of these books in your home? How many of you have more than five in your home? Yeah. Do you know what that's worth? 1 year in jail for every Bible you have in your home. 1 year in jail. When we go in there to Myanmar, everybody we visit always gets visited by the government right after we leave looking for this book. If they find it, you get put in jail 1 year. It's serious stuff. Don't let dust get on this book in your house. It's important. Timothy was one of the guys, was in the very first class that we taught. How can we teach a Bible class if we're in Myanmar and you can't have a Bible? Okay, let me think. We'll go to a blind school because, you know, blind people are stupid and dumb and fourth-class citizens. Because they can't see. They must be dumb and stupid. Must be a non-citizen. So they put a little fence around them to keep them in and also so they can't get out into society. And so if we can sneak into that facility, we can teach all day long. Because they don't care because we're inside there with those people that are non-citizens. That's what we did. So we teach all day and every night we'd finish, we'd go eat. Timothy and four other guys would come up and beg us to teach them. Please, please, please teach us more. So from about 6 or 7 in the evening to midnight, we'd teach them more. We'd get up at 7 o'clock, we'd go in and we'd teach all the pastors at 8 o'clock to 6. And then every night we'd do that because Timothy just kept begging for more teaching. He didn't have it. He can't get it. I can't tell you where this school is. This is an artist rendition by Timothy of the school. That's what it looks like. He sneaks people in. They go to this school. Actually, he sneaks Chinese people in. They come across the jungle. They hike for 7 days. They study. They then go back, hike back across all the jungle. Go home, teach their fellow Chinese people. They have to do it secretly. See how good we have it here in America? We don't have to do it secretly. We can come into this church building anytime it's open and get the Word of God. Anytime. And no one's going to put a gun to our head. No one's going to put us in jail. But it does happen in Myanmar. Here we are just teaching pastors, and they call it pastors, church planters, and missionaries to be pastors. I told you we often do a summer camp with kids, with young people. So these are just pictures of the places we've taken young people in the summertime. We found that it's easy to go across into Mexico to teach. What we want to do is try to go over, evangelize in an area, bring the people into a church, build that church there, and help the local pastor there. So that's what we try to do in the summertime with young people. Where have we gone? Other than the places I just talked about. Colombia, Bogota. Drug capital of the world. They kill people just because they aren't doing drugs. Peru, China, Nepal, Kenya. In Kenya, a friend of mine just was in Kenya last week. She and her husband went over there 60 years old, 60-ish years old. She'll never tell me how old she is. They went to Kenya. They were with a missionary. They were coming back from an all-day teaching in Kenya. There was a commotion, and the missionary pushed Cindy and Joe and one other person in the house, and they locked the door, thinking that the missionaries knew the language well enough, they could talk to the people, maybe quiet them down. They couldn't. They used a machete on the guy, cut his arm almost through the bone. They shot the wife with a gun. It was a robbery attempt because they were Americans. They looked like they might be rich. And so they shot. We're trying to rob them, okay? I tell you all those stories about how harsh it is sometimes, not to scare you away from going, but to let you know that we have it good here. We have it nice here. Cindy and Joe are okay. The missionaries are okay. They rushed them to the hospital in Nairobi. One of the things we do as VMI, we always do insurance that extracts you out of the country, gets you out of that country so you can get medical attention. It's very important because some of these countries that we go to, there's no medical attention that you would want to have rendered against you, upon you. I'm sorry. Because they don't have the hospitals that we have. I said earlier, we started out using Warren Dowd's Grace Notes, and then we realized that people do not have training. They don't have the computers. So we put together a book called Foundations. And we give this away free. It's one of those grace things that your pastor was talking about. If you want it, you can have it. It just tells you how to study the Bible. Because remember, these people don't have availability of Bible schools, although we're trying to get them in a couple of the countries. And that will change. So, but for right now, they don't. So we're teaching them how to study the Bible. Because you guys know enough because you've been under Pastor Bob for so long. But you can't just open up the Bible and, well, I just open up to Psalm 106, verse 29, and teach that. That's not the way you teach. Verse by verse. Oh, so he's going to go chapter by chapter. It's pretty good, isn't it? Even chapter by chapter. So, but you guys understand what I mean. We teach a systematic theology, so that there's a system to it. Who wrote the book? Who they write them to? They write it to believers, non-believers. Church age, non-church. For the Israelites. You know, you have to know who the audience is. Who are they writing to? Why are they writing it? And what are they saying? Make the whole thing in context. That's what we try to teach them how to do with this book, so they can understand about this book. First foreign printing was in Myanmar. They didn't know what it was, so we were able to print it. Didn't have Bible on it, so it was okay. Right now we have it in 12 languages. And three others ready to go. And 8 or 9 in the process. In the process means we have to go out and find somebody who can read this book in their language. We'll say it's Spanish. Translate it. We then get an independent source to proof it. We then go get it printed. And then we send it out to whoever needs it. That's the process. It's about a 6-month to a year process. Why am I here? Because I know you guys can pray. The most important thing you guys can do is pray for these people. Pray for VMI, for what we're trying to do all over the world to spread the gospel. Matthias in Nigeria. Oleg, Volodya, Sasha, Sergei in Belarus. James in Ghana. Masi in Sri Lanka. Solo in India. Cairo and Mark in Nicaragua. Timothy in Myanmar. And just that we'll know when to print and how to print and how many to print. So far we've only printed 50,000 of these. In the 12 languages, you're giving them away. We have less than 100 left out of 50,000. The lady who, talk about grace, the lady who prints these for us, she's in Dallas, She called me up. She says, "Well, Bob," she says, "you made a mistake on the front page. It says, no one may charge any individual or group or of individuals for use of this material." She says, "You can't make any money that way, Bob." And I said, "Well, Vicki," I says, "haven't I already sent you over $40,000 for the printing of these books?" She says, "Yes." I says, "Somehow God takes care of it. It's called a grace ministry, and God always takes care of it. So we're going to continue to have that on our front page, and we'll continue to give it away free." And she said, "Okay." And now she now uses this book in her Sunday school class to teach other people about how to study the Bible. So even in the States, it gets used. So the original purpose of it was to help the Nigerians, but it's been expanded to many, many other countries and many other uses. Please, if y'all would, there's a display board over there. There's three sign-up sheets. One is for a newsletter if you want to find out about what VMI does on a regular basis. Two, if you want one of these books, or 10 of them, or 100 of them, I'll send them to you. And three, if you want to go on a mission trip. If you're not too old, not too young, not too deaf, whatever. Y'all understand what I mean. If you guys want to go on a mission trip, write it down, and then Charlie will be contacting you, and we can start that process. Let's close in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son who died on the cross for us. And thank you for always loving us, always taking care of us. And thank you for this church it's open, and they get to hear the gospel all the time. Help them to understand the gospel. Help them to use the gospel in their daily lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.